The landmine project was funded essentially by the Ministry of Defence in the UK, and we were researching radar solutions for finding anti-personnel landmines. Anti-personnel landmines are, well, the modern ones at least, are mostly plastic devices. They've got very little metal content, so you can't find them with a metal detector. And most landmine clearance is still done by people sort of crawling along on the ground with a stick, prodding very gently at the earth in front of them, which obviously is a non-starter in terms of clearing large areas. And so we did some work on evaluating sort of novel radar technologies that would sort of look down into the ground. These are called ground penetrating radar, and you might have seen them on sort of archaeology programs on the television. And to try and find these very small, deadly anti-personnel landmines.
It sounds like quite a dangerous job. Were you at the front line at any point doing this?
We did some field trials in Bristol, but we had landmine replicas rather than real landmines. Yes, that would have been a bit lethal.
So this, the what came out of this then, has this kind of been taken on board, and is this the kind of the norm now for detecting landmines?
No, it hasn't got to that stage. There are all sorts of practical problems with inducing technologies like that. It became absorbed into the Ministry of Defence's internal research programs and into a procurement program for the army, and it's part of their ongoing research. It's not quite as much a topical area as it was, particularly during Princess Diana's time and the campaigning that she did. But the problem hasn't gone away, and it's still a problem for both humanitarian reasons and also for military reasons as well. Although some of that threat now is in places like Iraq and Afghanistan is now more to do with improvised explosive devices rather than traditional buried anti-personnel landmines.
Something else you're involved with is research into breast cancer screening. Now, is that something similar to the landmine technology? Is it the same principle?
It's very much the same principle. The only real difference is a matter of scale. For landmine detection, you're looking for something, let's say, about 10 centimetres in diameter. And in breast cancer detection, you're looking for something down less than a centimetre in diameter inside the human body. You're trying to solve the same problem. It's just that you're looking for something a bit smaller. And so the breast cancer detection project very much built on the results of the landmine detection project that we had running earlier.
How is this different to, your average mammogram or your usual mammogram?
Right, yeah. I mean, people are generally familiar with a mammogram, which is an X-ray of the breast, which is offered about every 2 or 3 years to postmenopausal women in the UK. It is actually quite different to that because it's not using an X-ray source. It's a completely different type of radiation. It's what we call radio waves. In other words, exactly what your listeners are using to listen to with their radio at the moment, and so they're harmless. There's no real restriction on your exposure to radio waves, unlike there is for X-rays, and so it's a different imaging modality. X-rays are very good at imaging the human body, precisely because they do pass through almost anything, and radio waves are less good. They're safer to use, but it's more difficult to get an image, and that's why this has not been done. The team at Bristol are very much at the forefront of coming up with technology that can use radio waves to image the breast.
Okay, and is this something that we can see happening more often in the future and becoming the norm?
We'd like to think so. I mean, X-ray machines and MRI machines took many, many years of development before they were in widespread use. And the same is true for our new technique, but we actually have been running a clinical trial at Frenchay Hospital in North Bristol with the help of the breast clinic there. And we have results from patients now. We have actually been we've had ethical approval to image patients, and we have seen cancers in those patients. And so we do have a technique that is beginning to prove itself. It certainly needs work, but it would be freely repeatable, unlike X-ray. Very low cost. It doesn't need any sort of radiation screening around the equipment in the way that an X-ray machine does. It could be portable. It could go in the back of a van, and so there's a huge amount of potential there if it can demonstrate its ability over a large number of patients. We've been delighted really by the reaction from members of the public who have been kind enough to come forward and to volunteer while being at the clinic, obviously at a difficult and a distressing time for them, to volunteer to be scanned by our equipment as well, which is obviously something that they don't need to do. So we've been very grateful for that support.
What about the future then, Dr. Craddock? Any other applications for this sort of technology that you've got in the pipeline?
There are other possibilities for medical imaging using this technique. Breast cancer is an attractive one for us, firstly because there's a very obviously a very big clinical need for that, because it's one of the biggest killers of women in Europe, and also because the breast is quite an accessible organ. It's obviously an external organ, and it's not complicated by having to image through a skeleton. But there are applications for imaging other parts of the body, including strokes, bleeding, clots within the brain, for example, which we're beginning to look at. And the general idea of imaging with radio waves is really coming to the fore, not only in medicine but also in counterterrorism, screening at airports, this sort of thing. These are all sort of non-invasive imaging, looking for small things, is a very hot topic right now for lots of different reasons.